Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to our program, Bible Questions and Answers, and the Gospel on tonight. Tuesday night's the Gospel, and Bible Questions and Answers on Thursday night. But any night, you need to call in, ask questions. If you have anything to say, just call in on the program. And we'll appreciate that very much. We want you to understand what this is all about. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 2, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So we as ministers and people of the gospel, we have been told by God to go and preach the gospel everywhere. And I'm so thankful for our internet program and telling anyone where we can speak around the world. And this is what God has told us to do. And all of us, those that appreciate the word of God and those that are not, all of us must be in the Bible. There's only one Bible internationally on this earth that was left with the instructions on what we must do in order to be saved. You know, if you look at the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, that could be an acronym. Basic instructions before leaving earth. And we know that we're going to all leave this earth. We've been instructed how to leave it. How to leave it. We got to leave it in Christ Jesus. Not just doing everything and anything you want to do. We people now going out there partying and drinking and smoking dope and can't understand how all the time. That's not going to put you in heaven. Satan is just as happy as he wants to be. Because he knows those people are coming down that immediate, everlastingly in hell. You know, I look at people on the streets and things, what they're doing, and they don't care nothing about God. It's all about the foolishness that they're doing. And they're enjoying it so good right now. And they don't understand. After we die, we're going to an eternal destination, either heaven or hell. Now, the question is, which way you want to go? Do you want to go to hell, or do you want to go to heaven? That's the choice of every human being. But God sent his son down here to walk in righteousness, and he was killed and hung on the cross for righteousness' sake, that we all might have a right to the tree of life. You see, when you walk in Jesus' footsteps, you are blessed, holistically, so wonderfully, that you will understand what it means to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to obey the gospel that he left here for us to obey, and live the most wonderful life you could ever live on planet Earth, and then leave here and go into heaven. I met a sister years ago. My dad was ministering up in Madisonville, Texas. And she lived to be 101 years old. And all the day she had was heart trouble. And she got real sick. And she was coming to church, even though she was going to the hospital. And then they told her she didn't have much longer to be here on earth. And then I remember the week before she passed away, we all went to a house, not to the hospital, but to the house. And she was over 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just as lively as she wanted to be.
Yeah.
And she left here wonderfully. You know, when you walk in the footsteps of Jesus, he bless you on this earth. The most wonderful way you can ever live in Christ Jesus is in Christ Jesus. You have to obey the gospel and walk in the footsteps of Jesus and you are blessed here on planet Earth. You know, when you walk in the footsteps of Jesus, you go through a lot of trials and tribulations, but you overcome so many until you give the glory to God and continue to walk like Jesus told you to walk. Hey, but you can't, you know, man, Satan is powerful, but he's not most powerful. You got people believing, you know, you get this money and you can live like you want to live. You reach this establishment in life. You get so educated and get your good job, you can live. Christ is not ever put into the stuff Satan wants you to do. It's good to get an education. It's good to do those things. It's good to come into money, but get Christ first. If you don't get Christ first, Satan's going to have you. And you will be doing the things he wants you to do. I know a lot of people in my community, young men who were growing up, grass, that marijuana and that dope and stuff started shooting up and going on and destroyed their whole life. The people that are left now that are not dead, they walk in the street looking like dead people, sleeping on the corner, begging for money. And they look pathetic. And all they want to do is get high. Even if they have to sleep in a corner or go in an old raggedy tore-up house or something and sleep there, they don't have nowhere to stay. Amen? And we need to know that's where Satan wants to take everybody. To hell. And you'll live in hell on earth if you don't follow the instructions of Jesus. Lord have mercy. Yeah. For 2017, we all need to make our minds up. Are we going to follow Jesus or Satan? You look out there and see all that stuff Satan doing. A lot of people get hooked on it. Getting hooked on a nightclub, hooked on a dolphin, hooked on fornication, and hooked on all the filth that you can do on earth. All of the sinful mess. And think they're having a good time. But they got to understand that their life will be destroyed, totally destroyed. And then you look back at your life. I talked to one young man who was so messed up years back. He said, well, I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda. The young man had gone got a degree in college. But he started smoking that dope and running with the clan and running to the club with all the other people. He ended up there homeless. Back on the street for the cup. To get some money, to get some crack or some dope or whatever he was taking, but it was in that area. You see, this is what's happening. You can see it in your own community now, what it has done to our young people.
Yeah.
It's got to change. The older people, they were nightclubbers. They're the ones that love those nightclubs in the community. You know, the people that own a nightclub, they made a fortune. Because they come up in there and drink and everything else. Then they start eating that dope and everything else. And that's where you go and destroy your life and become some type of whoremonger or fornicator, and you're not going to ever have a good life like that. Look back at your life and see what has happened. I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God is all about. Now, Brother Johnson, Brother Williams, y'all own us. Somebody come on in right now. I just had to get that message in tonight. Because we got to start this new year off right, living with Christ, and doing what Christ instructed us to do. But who's that, Brother William, Brother Johnson?
Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. That,
all right, we're right here. Brother Johnson going to start us off.
Yes, sir.
Yes, God's word is just what it is. It's young broken.
Right.
It tells us how to live better than we should have lived. Men want to live all their lives. They don't want to live for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
They want to live in sin.
Yeah.
And say that's all right with God.
Yes, Lord.
So what? You can't do it.
That's right.
You cannot live in sin and please God.
Amen.
I don't care how good you claim to be on this earth.
Amen.
If you are in Christ, you can't go to heaven.
No good.
Amen.
All men must come to Jesus.
Amen.
That is a direct command from God.
Yes.
Amen.
We, come or we don't come. We either quit sinning or keep sinning.
Yeah.
Make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said
Amen.
The world needs Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They need the gospel. They need to hear
Amen.
What God got to say.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got too many preachers in the pulpit listening
yes.
to the preacher, study listening to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
God ain't pleased with that.
Nope.
God gave the preacher the word to tell the people, and the people are to obey what God says and let the chips fall where they may fall.
Amen.
Amen.
But men today is fighting against God.
Hmm.
That's why all of this city is happening. God sees it.
Yeah.
Don't think God ain't looking.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking every day. He sees the future. He knows how long you're going to live and how long you're going to stay here.
Amen.
That's God, but it's not a time by man. Man only got 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God is not limited on time.
Amen.
God is time.
Yes.
And God is on time.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah.
Follow the book.
Yes.
Not the preacher. See, Brother Parker, we got too many people are jumping on the preacher side than on God's word side.
Yes.
But one day, when Jesus called everything an account,
mm-hmm.
oh, Lord, have mercy on our souls.
Amen.
We better be ready. And let me tell you something, brethren. We better stay ready.
Yes.
Because
yep.
death is for sure
coming.
It is coming just as plain as day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
yes.
hiding. It's not running. But it's coming.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. See it. And well, we don't want to face it. But we're going to face it one way or the other.
Yes.
See, death ain't so bad, brother.
No.
But, you know, the problem is, it's the judgment.
That's it. After death.
After death, how are you going?
All right.
Amen.
Are you going up or are you going down? You can't go both.
No.
You can't split yourself. You only can go God's way.
Amen.
The Bible tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I want to call that topic, have you had your sins washed away?
All right.
Yes.
Huh? Is that all right?
Amen. Amen.
Have you had your sins washed away?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells me right here in 1 Corinthians 6, and verse 9, he says,
do you not know
read.
That the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Read.
Yeah.
Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor homosexual.
Hold up. He said what?
Nor homosexuals.
We got a whole lot of that going on today.
Amen.
Yes.
And people don't want to try to get rid of it.
Too much.
We know.
Nor sodomite.
Read.
Yep.
Nor thief.
Nor covetous.
Nor drunkard.
Nor reviler.
Nor extortioners.
Will inherit the kingdom of God.
You cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You got to come to God. And clean.
That's true faith.
And if you obey God, you will follow the devil.
Amen.
And such were some of you. Oh, Lord.
You were washed.
You were baptized. That was the Bible says.
You were sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Oh, Lord, how? The world needs to go to the Word of God.
Amen.
And read the Scriptures just like they are.
Yeah.
That's too plain.
Amen.
God is so plain that a fool can't even err.
Amen.
Isaiah 35, number 8. He can't err, Brother William, and yet we try to get away with it.
Well,
God is not going to put up with it any more longer. You don't get it right, God will cut you off from the people, and you will die in your sin. John 8:21-24.
Yes.
People are dying in sin. They think, "Oh, I'm a good person, Brother Will.
Yeah.
I live a good life." That ain't got nothing to do with the gospel.
That's right.
You still got to obey Jesus Christ. I don't give a care how good you live, how you give the shirt off your back. You still got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Mark 16, chapter verse 15 and 16, he said, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe it not shall be damned." The Bible says, not the preacher. Laying around for the preacher. They don't study the word of God. They wait on the preacher to bring them a message every Sunday, and they think that's all right with God. How many homes you can walk in today and say, "Let's study the Bible"? You got them on your fingers. You can count them on your fingers, Brother Parker. You're not
very
many want to talk about the word of God.
No.
They'll talk about everything else. I want a new car. I want a new house. I want a new this. I want a new dress. I want a new pair of pants or a suit or whatever. But I never heard nobody raise their hands and let's talk about God. Let's see what his word has for us to live better.
All right.
See, God wants us to live better. We don't even want to do that.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that. We lying. The Bible tells us how to live. The Bible said get married. We said, "No, I ain't going to do it." The Bible tells us put all this other stuff, drinking wine and everything else, smoking, taking drugs that's not from the doctor.
Yeah.
We said we ain't going to do it. We're going to keep
married.
So when you get overloaded with the stuff, then death comes and then it's all over. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Get me James chapter 4, Brother William.
Right.
We've been to back up some stuff, Brother Parker.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to get down tonight like we never got down before.
All right.
Amen.
James chapter 4, begin at verse 1, Brother William, to verse 4. Listen to what James say here. Now, James going to give us something to go on.
The Bible says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" Do they not come from your desires and for pleasure that war in your members?
Ooh, look at that. Read.
You lust and you have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet only do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss.
That's
for wrong. That you may spend it on your pleasure.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?
Oh, look at that.
Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
Oh, Lord, we can't be a friend to the world. We got a lot of folks in the church of Christ is a friend to the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Church of Christ, they are friends to the world. They do the same thing the world do. But I'm Church of Christ when you come around your brother. You still lost.
Do you not, or did you think that the Spirit says in vain?
Oh, look at that.
Well,
who dwells in us yearns jealously? God is jealous.
God is a jealous God. God ain't nothing to play with. You don't play with that kind of foolishness. You know better.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Drop down to verse 13, Brother Will.
All right.
13 to 15. Let's see what he say there.
Come now, you who say, tomorrow or today, we will go and do such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow.
Oh, Lord.
Well, what is your life?
What is your life?
It is even as a vapor that appears for a little while and is soon vanishes away.
Oh, Lord. How long we got down here?
Don't know.
Death is on the case, and we still fooling around.
Instead, you will.
There go.
We shall live, and we shall do this or that. That, but now you boast. You boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil.
It's evil. It's the same as sin.
Therefore, him supposed to do good and do it not, it is sin.
Look at that. God is not playing with us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, brother. We in trouble. A lot of the world is in trouble.
Yeah.
Radio loud. Hear what God got to say. God let them know we in trouble. We're not getting away with sin.
No.
A little bit of word will carry you straight to hell.
That's right.
Yeah.
A little word, Brother William.
One
but it's got power in that word, though.
That's right.
Sin is power, Walker.
Sin is death.
Yeah.
Nothing but death, and it's all over with. Go to James chapter 1 again, Brother William.
Amen.
And read verse 13 through 15. Let's see what he say on there.
James chapter 1, beginning at verse number 13. The Bible says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God.
Oh!
For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust.
Oh, Lord, have
mercy.
Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin.
Oh.
And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
My brethren.
Oh, Lord, look how God explained it to us.
Yeah.
We are in trouble. I keep saying we are in trouble, Brother Parker. We play the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Sin will carry you to hell. I don't care how people get mad.
That's right.
We got the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Tell the folk like it is.
Nice.
The world is dying. The world is leaving. I'm not talking about the world in general. I'm talking about people that's in the world.
Yes.
Amen.
They're leaving here.
Word.
They're not going to come back.
Nope.
If you die in sin, you had it.
Amen.
Yes.
Get the judgment.
That's
the final judgment.
That's right.
God's judgment.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on our soul. We need
Amen.
To get closer to God than we ever got in our lifetime.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Need to step up to the plate and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll go.
Yes.
As verse 7 and 8, we need God, Church of Christ.
Nice.
Let's face it. We need someone to guide us.
Yes.
Nice.
And feed us. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23.
Yes.
We need a guide, Brother William.
Amen.
Man can't walk the earth by himself.
He can't do it.
He cannot do it. He cannot do it unless he's got a guide. And
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the guide.
Amen.
And if we put Jesus Christ behind us, we're going to walk straight into hell.
Yes.
Yes.
If we put him in front of us, we'll walk into heaven. Huh?
He'll lead us there.
Amen.
Satan can't block that.
Amen.
And Satan know he can't block it.
Yes.
All we got to do is stick with the book, make up your mind, say, Lord, here am I.
Yes.
I want to follow your way, regardless of what
Amen.
It comes.
Amen.
We got folk today playing with the Bible. Playing religion and being alone forever.
Yeah.
Call on Jesus. Oh, Jesus loves me. We know Jesus loves you. But do you love Jesus?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Huh? John 14:15, Jesus said, you love me.
Yeah.
Keep my commandments.
Yeah.
If you love me. If you don't love me, Brother William, then you can't keep the commandments.
Amen.
Yeah.
To learn these things, brethren. We have been in the church a long time, but we sometimes got to go back ourselves and relearn this stuff.
Yes.
We need to put the front of us, not behind us.
Yes.
The cross must be preached. Life begins at the cross.
Man.
Oh, Lord, help us. The Bible tells me in John 19:34 when the soldier pierced him in the side, came forth blood and water. And 20:28 said, take heed therefore which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. Feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood.
Yeah.
He purchased us.
Amen.
And we don't even want that.
Mm.
Oh, Lord. Yep. Mm. We need help. Brother Parker, we need help. What's wrong with us?
We went tonight.
Men killing one another, robbing one another. They 21 years old got killed over a pair of tennis shoes.
I know
you heard it on TV.
Yes.
It's pitiful for a pair of shoes.
Mm.
Oh, Lord help us. See, he didn't know what death was that.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Parker.
Brother Brown.
Yes, sir.
Let me.
Oh, hi. Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. I was wondering if you had a comment on Daniel 12:12.
Okay, you have a comment on Daniel 12:12, how that fits in.
All right, let's look at that prophecy. Let's see what he's talking about here. All right. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 12. Daniel is making a prophecy concerning Persia and Greece. In verse 12, it says, I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay.
Here it is.
All right.
It says, blessed is he that wait and cometh to 1,305 30 days. That was a prophecy fulfilled under Daniel when Daniel was prophesying in the last chapter of that. A lot of Daniel books, and I'm going to say this to clear it up, is a prophecy of the Old Testament, true enough.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel had a lot of metaphorical too. In other words, Daniel will say something, but it don't always mean to us. It meant to those that were back there, not to us today in the front. We have the whole complete revelation. But a lot of folk like to hold on to the Old Testament too much until they go into the New Testament and find out what the real prophecy is. And the whole situation is based on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not based on Daniel. See,
Amen.
Daniel took church and prophesied about it, but it never came in Daniel's time. But it came in the time we're in now. If you go and just start reading the Bible from Matthew all the way to Revelation, you'll find all the answers in the New Testament. The Old Testament is for our learning, Romans 15, verse 4. But a lot of people want to hold on to the Old Testament. If you hold on to the Old Testament, you got to complete that whole book, that whole business all the way to Daniel, and then a man on this earth can do it. Can't be done because God has already set it up. The New Testament gonna make you a Christian. The Old Testament don't make you nothing.
Amen.
It don't make no Christian. I can't even tell you that because we already know it though. But we're showing you something that Daniel prophesied. If you read the whole book of Daniel, you'll see what his prophecy is. It's got a lot of symbolic message in it too. Similar to some of Revelation. But the point I'm trying to make you see and get you to see is that most people want to run to the Old Testament. I don't know why. But how are we going to be judged when Jesus comes? We're going to be judged by the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 5, we're going to be judged by that. And we're going to be judged by what God, Jesus Christ, says. Daniel and everybody going to be there that day. And guess what? The beautiful part about it, the saints going to judge the world in righteousness. Do you know we judging the world right now when we preach the gospel to a lost society?
Amen.
when we tell you what God tells you what to do to be saved, we already judging the world in righteousness, hoping that they get it right.
Yes.
That's what the Bible trying to get us to do. We go preach to you or bring the message to you or tell you what the Word of God says. But when you fall back into the Old Testament, that's a throwback. That's all that is a throwback. Well, I take them back to the Old Testament. What about let's go to the New Testament? What church do you belong to?
So we should get rid of the Old Testament. I hear you.
Yeah, we should get rid of it.
No.
We don't get rid of it that way. No, we take the Old Testament like Romans 15:4 says. It's good to read it. It's for your learning, but it's not for your justification.
No.
Let me show you something. You got a Bible there, son? You got a Bible?
Yeah.
Go to Galatians chapter 5 and read the first 5 verses. And tell me what that says.
Galatians. Galatians?
Yeah, Galatians, the New Testament.
Galatians
5.
Galatians 5, 1 through 5.
Yes, sir, read.
Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I'm looking. Okay. All right. Galatians 5.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me? 1 through 5. All right, says, for such freedom Christ set us free. Therefore,
uh-huh.
Stand. Is that the right one?
Galatians chapter 5. I'm coming
Galatians
up with
5.
Uh-huh.
For such freedom Christ set us free. Therefore, stand fast and
yes.
Do not
uh-huh.
yourself be confined again in the yoke of slavery.
All right. Keep reading.
Okay, see, I, Paul, am telling you that if you become circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Moreover, I bear witness against every man getting circumcised that he is under obligation to perform the whole law. You are parted from Christ, whoever you are, that try to be declared righteous by means of law.
That's
you have
right.
fallen away from his undeserved kindness. For our part, we by spirit are eagerly waiting for the hope for righteousness as a result of faith.
That's it. Read the next verse.
6.
Yes.
For as regards Christ, neither circumcision is of any value nor is uncircumcision, but faith operating through love is.
Faith yes. operating through love. You are not under the Old Testament law in verse 4.
Nope.
If you have, you have fallen from grace.
That's right.
Grace.
Daniel,
it's not.
Right.
Daniel, it's a prophecy.
It's a what?
Daniel has prophecies for the end time.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the end time. It's
this
the last
is,
day.
These are every day. Look here, son. Every day that you live is the last day. You ain't guaranteed tomorrow morning.
No.
After 12 o'clock, guarantee you can die before 12 get here.
That's right.
No, that's true.
Die before 9 o'clock get here.
Man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I got a call right now.
Now, hold on. Now, here's the problem I get you to see. We are not under the Old Testament law. Let me show you another passage of Scripture to prove my point. Go to 2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3
okay.
And start reading at verse 1 through 6
mm-hmm.
Now we're going to see something here. I want to open your eyes. Satan's trying to pull a couple of your eyes. But we got to open your eyes now.
For 2 Corinthians 3
yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 3 start at verse 1 through 6.
Okay. Are we starting again to recommend ourselves, or do we perhaps, like some men, need letters of recommendation to you or from you? You
right.
yourselves are our letter, inscribed in our hearts and known and being read by all mankind. For you are shown to be a letter of Christ, written by us as ministers, inscribed not with ink, but with spirit of a living God. Not on stone tablets, but on fleshy tablets, on heart. Now, through the Christ, we have this sort of confidence toward God. Not that we ourselves are adequately qualified to reckon anything as issuing from ourselves, but our being adequately qualified issues from God.
Yes.
Who has indeed adequately qualified us to be ministers of a new covenant, not of a written code, but of spirit.
That we are ministers of a new covenant. That's talking about the New Testament. We're not under the Old Testament. Like I said, you can read the Old Testament. It's good to read it. That's for your learning. But it's not for your
justification. But the Bible says that Christ fulfills everything in the Old Testament, doesn't it?
He doesn't destroy the law, he fulfills the law. All the way to Malachi. He fulfilled all of that Old Testament.
All
that prophecy is filled by Christ.
He says not one letter of it will not be fulfilled.
Huh? What'd you say now?
Isn't there a scripture that says that not one letter of it will not be fulfilled?
All right. That's right. Ever prophesied about Christ and the new covenant would not one thing would fail to be completed. Fulfilled means completed, ended. That's it. Every word of prophecy is completed. Christ completed it when he came and he did his mission on earth. He died and established the new covenant in his death.
Right, right.
That's the thing of the old covenant. Enhance a relationship to God and his salvation.
Right. So there should be some fulfillment of the 1,335 days in the new covenant. I just want to realize where it is. It's the day of Pentecost.
No, sir.
No, it is. It's the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, Christ's ministry was for 3.5 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know that they use that lunar solar calendar, so about every 3 years they added an extra month, right? It was 13 months. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah, that's how they did it. They adjusted the year. About every 3 years they added an extra month. So sometimes that 3.5 years was 36 months. I mean, 42 months. And sometimes it was 43 months. In other words, sometimes it was 1,260 days, sometimes it was 1,290 days. And so Christ's ministry of 1,290 days, when it ended, 45 days before Pentecost. So the 1,335 days is fulfilled by when Holy Spirit came on the 120, 45 days after Jesus' death. So that's how that was fulfilled. Is that great?
That is great.
Well, yeah. Everything in the Old Testament has a fulfillment in the New Testament. If you know if you're given understanding of how it works.
Yeah. Well, there are other references to 42 months and so forth in the Old Testament, also in the Revelation, in the book of Revelation.
But that's right.
It refers to a period of time. It's not always a literal period of time, and sometimes it is. So we know this. The life and the passion of Christ and his resurrection, his going back to heaven, and the establishment of the church. Okay? The church was established 40 days after Christ went back, 50 days, rather, after Christ went back to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, actually, it's 45 days. But anyway, that's relevant, right?
After Christ went back to heaven. Christ was with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, and then he went back to heaven, and 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came with the church. But those last days or end days, it's talking about the last days. That is, this is the last covenant and last spiritual age.
Okay.
Covenant relationship with God.
So you're saying that it took 10 days after Christ was here 40 days for Holy Spirit to get back to Pentecost.
The Bible says it took 10 days.
That basically they were in that upper room for 10 days, is that what you're saying?
It didn't necessitate any particular length of time. It just turned out that it came 10 days later. That was
okay.
It came on the day of Pentecost. That was specific. Oh. Jesus rose on the day of Pentecost, that Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Easter Sunday, Passover Sunday. He rose that day, and then the next Pentecost, the
All
church
right.
was assembled. Now, that's just the way God did it. I don't know
okay.
what, you know, it's not a matter of it took that long. That's the way God did it.
Okay, well, it varies. If you believe that Jesus... Some people think Jesus died on Friday, 9th and 14th, and rose that Sunday, two
yeah.
days later. But in reality,
yeah.
Jesus, Passover, he ate Passover, according to the Gospels, on that Saturday. And so he couldn't have died then. He had to die the next Thursday, which is the 20th. So if he died on the 20th, Pentecost is 45 days from his death. Pentecost is 50 days from the 15th.
Historically, if you're going to go by history, he was crucified and he rose on the 8th of April.
No, I mean, what day of the Jewish?
You're going to look at it.
Okay.
You're going to look at the calendar time and calendar days. The Caesarean calendar was being used throughout the known world at that time. It had been in vogue for hundreds of years.
Okay, let me ask you this simple question. The Jews left Egypt on the 15th, right?
He died on a Friday before 6 p.m.
Okay, wait. Well,
that Sunday was the 8th of April.
Okay.
The 28th of April, the Holy Spirit came, and the church was established on that Sunday at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, really? Okay, this is my problem. The Jews left Egypt on the 15th. Is that correct or not?
The Jews did what?
They left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, right after Passover.
Yeah.
Right? They ate Passover at midnight. The angel of death came, and then they left before their bread could even get leavened on the 15th. And that's on that's Exodus 33:3. They left on the 15th. And they made that a holiday, a national holiday they celebrate every year on the 15th. Now, is that correct? That's correct. So if the Jews left on the 15th shortly after Passover, then Jesus was arrested on the 15th. On the 15th of the month, Jesus was arrested on the 15th.
Can I ask you a question? The 15th of Nisan is not the 15th of March, April, or May.
That wasn't
their calendar.
The 15th of Nisan.
Can I ask you a question?
I don't know what day of the calendar, the modern calendar it is, but I'm trying to establish what the Bible is saying. That they left on the 15th, and that became a national holiday.
No, it's not a national holiday. The Jews were a religious, a spiritual nation. It was a holy day.
Okay,
it was
a special day that they celebrated every year, right?
They celebrated the Pentecost, the Passover, every 50 days.
Every 50 days.
They were told to count 7
But I'm talking about the day they left Egypt.
From
the day they left Egypt was the 15th.
They were to count 7 Sabbaths in one day.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I want to know one reason. Why everybody go back to the Old Testament when it doesn't make nothing but just what it is? The Old Testament.
I would like you to realize that a lot of things that people are
teaching. Because we can't hold back the Old Testament to the New Testament. The New Testament is only for what we're supposed to do. If I thought that ain't going to save us, it's the New Testament. The Old Testament ain't going to save nobody. Because if you go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19, Christ's blood had to go back there and clean those folks up under the Old Testament.
Everybody under the Old Testament had to be cleansed by the blood of Christ.
Right.
And
what
that happened in his death, so that now everyone is part of the New Testament generation or the New Testament family of God, the New Testament church. We all have received the cleansing blood of Christ when we have obeyed the gospel of Christ.
Right.
The difference with the Old Testament dead is that they were faithful to the Old Testament covenant, which they received.
Mm-hmm.
They died in faith, but they didn't receive the promise of eternal life and salvation until Christ died. Now, those who were dead when Christ died, who were faithful to God in their generation, they received the atoning blood of Christ, because the blood of bulls and goats could not remove their sin.
That's it.
They all died with their sin. They were all in prison. They were all in that bondage. Christ had to end or fulfill or complete the perfect law of liberty by his death on the cross, and that perfect law of liberty was extended to every man who was faithful to God. It was for all of mankind, from Adam all the way to the day. It didn't exclude those who had died previous to Christ having died. It included them. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 34.
See, we are under a better covenant, according to Hebrews.
Perfect.
According to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, Christ, when Christ put God is under the better covenant, we don't have to go back to the old covenant. We can go back and read it if we want to. But the old covenant is not going to say no man. I don't care how much you read it. You can read it until judgment day. If you're not found in Christ, you're going to be lost to eternity.
All right. Well,
the Old Testament is for the learning. You
if
learn
you ignore the old covenant, you're not going to be able to be right in the new covenant. Because that 135 days tells you when Christ returns, the year of his return, and you don't realize it. Because you're ignoring the Old Testament. And you're saying that the Bible.
Because right now while we're talking.
Oh, the full way of the Old Testament. So how can you expect to be saved? Hello?
What do you mean by the year of Christ's return? That prophecy
right.
of statement in Daniel.
That prophecy tells you the year of Christ's return, and you don't realize it.
You talking about when he's going to return for the second time?
Yes, the year he's going to return.
All right, and that indicates the year he's going to return? Is that what you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. That's right.
Okay, then Jesus must have lied when he said, no man knoweth the hour.
That's it?
No one knows the day or hour, but he didn't say no one knows the year. The year has to be fulfilled by several prophecies, and this is one of them.
Now,
the year is known. He has to fulfill the 70th week. Have you ever heard of the 70th week prophecy?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. We've heard of it. But
so what do you teach about that?
All of that is fulfilled.
All of that's been fulfilled.
It's still the 70th week?
They fulfilled the Old Testament law.
It's not a literal 70 weeks. You
why is it literal?
Interpretation of prophecy. Now, listen, let me read something to you, and then maybe that'll help you understand where we're coming from when we say those things are prophecy, but they have already been fulfilled. Anything that Daniel and all of them wrote about is already fulfilled. In Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse number 19, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. We're going to read all the way through verse number 26.
Romans 3?
Yes, beginning at verse 19.
Can you read it for me? I'm getting hoarse.
Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Uh-huh.
The law exposes us to the detriment of sin.
Uh-huh.
It exposed man to the condemnation of sin. It let us know that sin, a law itself, is not good for man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the law held out hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 20,
mm-hmm.
by the deed of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
All right, read.
You can't have any justification by the deeds of the old law, and that is written to us who live under the new law.
Daniel is not part of the law. Daniel is the book of prophecy.
Died. Christ ended that law.
And the Bible says Christ fulfills everything in the law. He's the Passover lamb, isn't he?
For us. Okay? And it says,
isn't Christ the Passover lamb?
Huh?
Aren't all those sacrifices representing Jesus Christ?
You say what now?
Don't all those sacrifices represent Jesus Christ in some way? Isn't he the Passover lamb? Isn't he called the Passover lamb?
No. Those sacrifices don't
represent. Jesus Christ is not called the Passover lamb, huh?
They don't represent Jesus Christ.
All right, I got you. I got you.
Well,
thank you. You answered my question.
Thing in that they were, God allowed them as a temporary means. They were sacrifices for sin, but they could not remove sin. So in a sense, they do not represent Jesus Christ, but what they do is they prepared man for the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who would come and remove all sin. Okay? So they were a substitute, but they were not the real thing. Now, if you talk about representing Christ, they were a substitute for the true sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. But they could not do what Christ did. That's why it says in verse 20, but now the righteousness of God, separate and apart from the law, is revealed. What's the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It was prophesied about. It was talked about. The prophets witnessed the Holy Spirit's revelation concerning these days when Christ, God, would deliver man from sin through the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Even the righteousness of God, verse 22, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. The Old Testament faithful also believed in Christ. They believed in the Lord. Job said that I, though these skin worms destroy my body, even though I go to the grave, yet will I see my Redeemer. I will see him for myself. He will stand on the earth in the latter day.
Mm-hmm.
Job,
where's that at?
Christ. He believed in Christ. All the other prophets did, because they prophesied about Christ and they believed the prophecy. The people who believed the prophecy, they died by the hope according to the prophecy. That's why they knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew that he was going to be
born.
These things, because they believed in the prophecy. Jesus completed and those prophecies and ended all of those prophetic things.
Yes,
they were all completed in Christ.
Right. Matthew 5:17.
We do not, based on faith in Christ, and the thing you're talking about, those days and
Matthew 5:17.
35 days. All of that has been fulfilled.
Wait, Matthew 5:17.
Christ's second coming will not be a coming on this earth.
That's
he will never set foot on earth again.
Amen.
That's according to Hebrews 5:17.
Okay.
Never set foot on earth again.
Well, I don't believe that. But anyway, Matthew 5:17 says, I do not think it came to destroy the law. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Daniel's a prophet. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill.
Yes, he did. Fulfill means he completed. He completed.
Right.
So,
what is the fulfillment of the 135 days? 1,335 days had to be fulfilled, right?
Say what?
That means the 1,335 days must be fulfilled by him. So how was it fulfilled?
That's an allegorical. That is not a literal, but it's an allegorical statement of time. All of that
is
fulfilled.
It is absolutely It is absolutely specific.
Millennial doctrine is
coming.
Already been fulfilled. It didn't say it wasn't about 1,000 literal years. It was about a
1,000 a day for a year. Ezekiel 6:4-6, a day for a year. So it's really 1,335 years.
You see, you started messing with the Old Testament. You need to get into
that's
the
right,
New
because
Testament.
It tells you when Christ is going to return.
All been fulfilled. Well, hey, I got one for you. Turn to Romans
what?
The 10th chapter. Turn to Romans the 10th chapter.
Romans
yes,
10 what?
Romans chapter. And start at verse 1. You do it just like these people doing. And it ain't going to work. Not going to work on
Romans 10 what?
See, what you're doing, you're not listening. We're trying to show
I'm
you
not
what
listening.
You're
I'm listening to the scriptures. I'm trying to listen to the scriptures.
Now what? Now what we're trying to get you to listen to, but you're not listening.
Okay, Romans 10.
All Testament is completed.
It hasn't been fulfilled. It hasn't been fulfilled. You have to fulfill the 1,335 days.
God's word.
You can't just ignore it and throw it away. You can't
watch
tell
this.
People don't pay attention to the Old Testament.
Go to Romans 10.
I'm at Romans 10.
Okay, start reading that verse 1 through 4. Let's see what it says.
All right. Brothers, the goodwill of my heart and my supplication to God for them are indeed for their salvation. For I hear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not
they're
according to knowledge.
But not according to knowledge. Read.
Not right. For because of not knowing the righteousness of God, but seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God.
Seeking to establish their own righteousness. Read.
Right. I heard
read.
That. Accurate knowledge.
Right
okay. For Christ is the end of the law.
The end
so
of the law.
So that everyone exercising faith may have righteousness. Right. He fulfills the law. He doesn't destroy it, though. When he fulfills it, he ends the law by fulfilling it.
We said he completed the law. He ended it. It is of no value. That's it.
He has to fulfill it. He does not destroy it.
He took
you
it
read
out
that
of
the scriptures. It says, I did not come to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill them. So I'm supposed
that's
to ignore that?
Now, sir, are you an Israelite today? Are you an Israelite?
Yes.
You are born of the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
So, do you know that if you are born of the seed of Abraham, that the old law has no value for you today?
Not no value, but it doesn't apply directly to me. I now go by Christ.
But it is of no value to you today. That's it.
Amen.
I understand I'm no longer under the law here.
All of that is fulfilled. It's ended. It's over with. It's just like this.
All right, but if Christ fulfilled the 1,335 days, I want to know from you, how did he fulfill it?
When he died on the cross, that's how he fulfilled it.
That's not how. You don't know. You don't realize it. No. That's not how he fulfilled it.
1,335 days.
He fulfilled it by eternity. That tells you the year of Christ's return.
Huh?
But I see that you don't have a concept of that. And by the way, Christ does have to return back in the flesh. He's not going to rule 1,000 years from heaven. He has to be back down here in human form. He comes through the line of Joseph when he returns.
Sir,
did you know that?
Christ's reigning right now from heaven. Ever since he went back, he is reigning in his kingdom, his New Testament kingdom, right now. It's been over nearly 2,000 years since the church was established in 33 A.D. on the day of Pentecost. Christ has been reigning since then in the New Testament kingdom of God.
Amen.
He has came from the Old Testament to the New Testament because he is the Lord God of the Old Testament. He was the God that spoke.
Do you, agree to the second coming?
Huh?
Is Christ supposed to return or not?
He's supposed to return
for
okay.
His judgment.
Okay, so he's supposed to return, so.
But he will never set foot on earth. It's not going to be, he's not going to set foot on earth. The earth is going to be dissolved. Christ will never
well,
set foot on earth.
I don't agree
you
with that, but I hear what you're saying. I won't argue that point. Christ from the Bible comes to the line of Judah first, and then he has to come through the line of Joseph. So he's definitely going to be a human on the earth again for 1,000 years, according to my interpretation of the Bible.
No, that's
but anyway, I don't want to take up any more of your time. You guys can still preach on something
cool.
else. But I thank you. I appreciate your comments.
All right. While we're in this territory, I mentioned
yeah.
to you that Christ will never set foot on earth again.
Christ has returned and he's here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He's going to come and preach in the night for people like you who don't realize he's supposed to be here in the flesh again. And
okay,
so, and the reason why, you don't pay attention to prophecy. You don't care about the 1,335 days. That tells you that Christ is going to return.
Excuse me, Brother Johnson. Sir, we'd like for you to come back. On Thursday night, and bring us some of your evidence of what you're saying.
I'll explain a lot of this to Brother Williams in an email. How's that?
You do
and then you'll have something to think about it and talk about.
Okay.
Well, will you come back on? What I'm asking you to come back
and
on.
And I'll try to. But my dad's sick. I think. On Thursday, Thursday at 7:30, I'll come back and discuss it.
Thank you. Come back, and the door will be open for you. And
all
we
right,
want
thank you.
Open.
I enjoyed talking to you. It's always great to have someone to have with a zeal for the Bible.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you, too. We appreciate you, too. And then remember what the Bible says. Now, the Bible says for us to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Okay?
That's right. Iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We appreciate you very much, okay?
Okay, and I appreciate you, too. Thank you.
And we'll be listening for you Thursday night.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's him.
Hello?
What? Yeah.
Johnson, but,
brother, let me say this, and we're going to get ready to close. Brother, we're going to get to the point. Him now because I see what he's doing. It ain't gonna work. He said
it is
Christ
working. It's working. There's no way it's not gonna work. So we'll go through this on Thursday. I'll show you the scriptures.
But
we do things by examining the scriptures.
Brother William, and all of us. When you come back Thursday night, you're gonna be saying that bring in your Bible and we're gonna become from the Bible.
Yes.
With the teachings on it too. And we'll see who's right. Let's change to our book, chapter, and verse.
Okay, very good. That's right.
The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
In Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse number 3, the Bible says, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer.
Uh-huh.
That is Christ. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. Oh, wait a minute. In chapter 7, in verse number 21, he says, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever.
Uh-huh.
After the order of Melchizedek. Christ is a priest after the order. In other words, he has an endless priesthood. He has no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. But he is a priest in that order. So Christ is a priest. But it says if he were on earth, he would not be a priest.
He would not be a priest. He can't be a priest.
Because he was born in the line of Judah.
Yes.
That's because he was not born in the line of Levi, that's why.
Shadow of the heavenly thing as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. Now, sacrifices, the priesthood under the old law of Moses was a shadow of the true priesthood.
Right.
He is a high priest. He is the priest forever. It says so in
Melchizedek.
We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heaven. That's Christ. Now,
that's correct. But Melchizedek was a man.
He would not be that priest. He cannot be that priest and be that priest on earth. Christ is that priest. He will never not be that priest. He will never set foot on earth again. He cannot.
The scriptures
he gave by the Holy Spirit for men to write for us. Hebrews chapter 8 was written by the direct inspiration or power of the Holy Spirit in a man's mind to write it. So he said, he can't be a priest on earth, but he's a priest right now. Is he going to give
Christ could not be a priest on earth because he was not born in the tribe of Levi when he first came. He was born in the tribe of Judah. That's what this is talking about. When he returns, he has to be born in the tribe of Joseph.
He is going to
return in the tribe of Joseph and rule here on the earth with the priest.
All that feels, son. He's born in the tribe of Judah. He's not going to be born in the tribe of Judah. At the second coming,
he's born in the tribe of Joseph. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, no.
I can read that to you in Genesis 49. The Bible says, the scepter will not leave the tribe of Judah until Shiloh comes.
Born out of the tribe of Joseph. And for what reason would he be born out of the tribe of Joseph?
The second coming. He has a first and second coming. He has the first coming through Judah, the second coming through Joseph. We can read those scriptures, Genesis 49. Why don't you Google?
49?
We're not under the Old Testament.
That's not in Genesis 49.
Yes, it is, sir. You want me to read it to you?
Yeah, I want you to read what
read
the Genesis 49. What you're saying is there is not there. I've read it.
I'm going to read it to you, okay?
Okay.
It says, let me find it again. All right. It says, 49:10, the scepter will not turn aside from Judah. This is a prophecy, by the way. Neither the commander's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him the obedience of the peoples will belong.
Uh-huh.
So we know Jesus was born in the tribe of Judah. This is about Judah producing the Messiah and the king. The kingship is Judah. That's when he comes the first time. But the scepter stays in Judah until Shiloh comes. When Christ returns, he has to be born in the tribe of Joseph. And I'll read that to you now.
Now, you'll have to read that out of the scripture because you don't know who Shiloh is or what Shiloh is. You know who that is.
But whenever he comes, it is no longer in the tribe of Judah. But we do know where it is because of what the prophecy about Joseph.
It comes through the tribe of Judah. It's such thing as we know it's not in the tribe of Judah. Shiloh is
49:26. Read Genesis 49:26.
I'm sitting right here. You read it. What does it say?
It says, this is talking about the blessings that go to Joseph. You know, he's giving all the blessings for all the tribes. Verse 26 says, the blessing of your father will indeed be superior to the blessings of the eternal mountain, to the ornament of the indefinitely lasting hills. They will continue upon the head of Joseph, even upon the crown of the head of the one singled out from his brothers. So Joseph also becomes a king. When Jesus comes, at the first coming, he comes through Judah. The scepter remains in Judah until Shiloh comes, but Shiloh has to come, and he comes through the line of Joseph.
No. You're going to read the blessing of Judah.
Okay.
Hold on. You're going to try to read the blessing that Jacob was giving to Judah. Then you want to go to the blessing that Jacob was giving to Joseph and say that the blessing that Jacob was giving to Judah was for Joseph. That's a lie.
Oh, no. No, I'm saying that Christ comes through Judah on the first coming, but in the second coming, he comes through Joseph.
Nor is there no Shiloh referred to in the blessing. That
Shiloh,
is a blessing Joseph.
Shiloh comes through Joseph.
Well, I'll tell you.
You're not listening to the word, man. You're making up a story, or else you're believing
a
story. I'm
interpreting the Bible per my own viewpoint, That's all. And if you disagree, I accept that.
Well,
but
what you got to do,
the reality
is
that
in verse number 8, Jacob is talking to Judah. Shiloh has to do with Judah. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah according to the flesh, the Israelite flesh.
He comes twice. He comes from the tribe of Judah the first time, the line of Joseph the second time. The first and second coming.
Shiloh is the Savior, Jesus Christ, who was born.
Yes, he is. Yes, Shiloh is Jesus Christ. But when he comes, he removes his scepter from Judah.
Huh?
When he comes, he removes his scepter from Judah. The scepter remains in Judah until Shiloh comes. When Shiloh comes, he removes that scepter from Judah, and it becomes the scepter of Joseph.
No, sir. It doesn't.
Okay, that's
say
all right.
That
you don't get it. I accept that.
It doesn't say that anywhere in Genesis 49. It doesn't say that where you read. It doesn't say that where you read before. It doesn't say that at all. Shiloh is Christ.
26. Verse 26.
Shiloh is Christ.
At the second coming.
He was born in the specially tribe of Judah. He came forth of Judah. That's why in Hebrews it says he can't be a priest under the law of Moses because he's not from the priest of the tribe of Levi. He's from the tribe of Judah.
The first time he comes. The second time he comes, he's not going to come to the line of Judah.
Huh?
This is about, he has the first and second coming. Christ comes the first time as a sacrifice. He comes the second time as a king priest. So he's born in the tribe of Judah the first time and the tribe of Joseph the second time.
He's a king priest now. It's not the tribe of Joseph at all.
Why isn't it? It says that
the tribe of Judah has no strength.
The crown will be with Joseph. That's what it says.
Listen, that was according to the flesh when you talk about Joseph and Judah. The Christ is God. He came and manifested himself in the form of a man through the lineage of the flesh of Judah, but he was not the seed of Judah. He was not the seed of man.
He is the son of man.
God according to the flesh.
He had to come through the agency of the flesh. Mary had to be used to make him a human.
In chapter 49 and verse 10, Christ is the fulfillment of that. There is no coming in the tribe of Joseph at all. That has nothing to do with Christ at all.
He has the first and second coming, and when he returns, he has returned to the tribe of Joseph, according to my understanding of the Bible.
Well, your understanding is wrong.
Christ is not going to return, according to me, and I'm wrong according to you, so we agree to disagree.
Hello? We're going to do the pickup back on the Thursday night. I'd like for you to do is to tell me, where did the sperm that created Jesus come from? The sperm that created Jesus, where did it come from? Okay? Let's talk about
Holy
that.
From Holy Spirit.
No. We're not going to get into it right now.
Okay.
We appreciate you calling in.
It's great talking to you. Iron sharpens iron. I'm probably going to learn some things. I did learn some new concepts.
Okay, well, just hold on a minute, Brother Johnson. Give us some closing prayer.
All right. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful once again to have this radio broadcast.
Amen.
So thankful that we can be able to stand on your word.
Yes.
We know the truth, Father. Yes. We can know it. John 8:31-32 and John 14:6. Yes. We know, dear God, if we do not stand up for the truth, then we've agreed with error and we will be lost.
Nice.
We still got to stand on thy word forever until you come back for the church.
Yes.
We're going to deliver the church up. Not going to have to set it up. It's already set up.
Amen.
And we know this, Father. We can see it and we open our eyes. our spiritual
eyes.
Yeah. That's what's wrong with mankind. Satan will come along and twist all kinds of scriptures up, and we know this because you have revealed your Holy Spirit through us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, and Colossians 1 through 10. Father God, we know the truth. All we got to do is just tell it the way it is. And if they don't want it, we must move on because we cannot waste time with the broadcast and be cut off like that. We got to teach other people that they can get in and be saved. We know our job. We don't want to be lost because when we be lost, we're going to be lost for eternity. I'm standing with the God because I know it's right. And I'm going to stay with it as long as I can, dear God. And I pray that my brethren will stay with it as long as they can. Because we done made a vow to you. 2017, we're going to do better. And we need to do it right. We need to stick with this book every day. We got challenges that's coming up. We want that to come so we can stand on your words and here it is. Your life is
expound the truth.
The Bible is right.
Yeah.
Let us stand on the word of God. We so thankful for William. We so thankful for Brother Parker
the third.
We so thankful for Brother Parker the fourth, Brother Robinson. We so thankful for preachers to stand on the word. Because we don't want to hear it. They can cast all over the Bible, we're going to still tell them the truth.
Amen.
That's the rule of our life, to tell the truth. Like Jesus stood up to tell the truth. The worst enemy in the world is our own brethren.
Yes.
It is sad, but we got to with the word.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stand on it. Father God, but we have put awesome life down here. We pray and hope that we will have an eternal home in your eternal kingdom that you promised.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17.
Yes.
We are new creatures in Christ. That's what I love about the word. Because it doesn't say old creatures, it says new creatures.
Yes.
Amen.
We know this. We know the truth. And you blessed us with it. Why would we give it up? Oh, Lord, help us to be faithful to you.
Amen.
Continuously to be with us as ministers of the gospel. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And, all right, Brother Parker, let's be ready for Thursday night, man.
Yes, sir. We'll be ready. And is everyone on there? Call back in Thursday night, gentlemen.
We've got to have scriptures and interpretation that is according to the scripture. But we need to hear some scripture from him. He's reading scriptures, trying to
I'm going to say, Brother Williams, the scriptures that I'm interpreting to show that Christ must come back in the flesh.
You know,
the Antichrist be saying Christ doesn't return to the flesh, though. So. You know that scripture, don't you?
You have to prove that he's going to return in the flesh. He cannot. And he cannot return from the tribe
of Joseph. He must return in the flesh to be born in the tribe of Joseph.
We need to say his name. Let him bring his proof on. Bring his proof on, sir.
Okay, I will. Well, I enjoyed it, you brothers, and I have a nice evening and a couple of days, and I'm going to try and come in on, if you want to be bothered with me, I'm so bothersome on Thursday. But I'm going to send that information to Brother Williams, you know. He can send it to you guys, and then you can have a chance to, you know, look at the scriptures first.
You going to come in Thursday? Come on Thursday night. Okay, we'll be looking for
you. I'm going to send Brother Williams all the scriptures that I have that I believe that Christ comes in the flesh. Okay.
Well, Bill, and we want you to know that we're talking to you in love now. Me too.
I mean, what's the point if we don't want to try and help each other see the same light, you know?
Okay, well, do that, and then we'll do the same thing, sir, and we'll do it all in love, okay?
Okay, what's your name, brother?
I'm Brother Parker, Brother Lewis Parker, Jr.
Brother Broccoli?
Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R.
Parker, okay. All right, and my name is Wilson.
Wilson? Okay, Brother Wilson. Mr. Wilson, Brother, where do you go to church?
I have my own church. So I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Okay, we'll be waiting for you, okay?
Okay, all right.
Good night.
All right. Okay, good night.
Yes.